Dearly beloved in Christ, many years ago, Bishop McKenna, who ordained me a priest, told me just about some of the things to do during an exorcism. And the first thing he said was fasting. He said you should fast for 3 days before the exorcism. And then what he said was you could do the Lenten fast. In other words, you don't have to completely eat nothing, but observe the Lenten fast for 3 days. And the church calls it the Black Fast. And I think, and then, so, okay, I'm older now, so I can't do that. So, but I just fast from the morning of the exorcism until we're finished. And the one thing that helps is just not to think about it. The more you think about it, okay, I'm so hungry, I gotta wait till later, I can only eat this much, can only eat that. If you don't think about it so much, then it really, you get through it. And I can't think of anything that's more difficult. They're talking about heavy manual labor, anything more difficult than an exorcism. And if we can get through that until the main meal, then, you know, with God's help, you can. Again, if you need to be excused or dispensed, but again, if you have a job that's very, very intense, then you would be excused from the fasting. But then again, we don't want to be too easy on ourselves. We have to do some penance. So today I'm just going to talk briefly about fasting. We begin with the Ten Commandments by God and are expected to follow them daily. It's to show our love for God. And they're all for our welfare. Holy Mother Church, realizing the weakness of our fallen nature, has in addition given us 6 precepts or commandments of the church. The second of these precepts is a requirement of fasting and abstaining on the days the church has designated. And that's why everyone should have a Catholic calendar, because it's got the days that you do fast, the days you can't eat meat, etc. And if there's a fish on there, like it is on the Fridays, okay, that doesn't mean you have to have fish. It just means you just can't eat meat. Fasting and abstaining are very ancient. As far back as the Garden of Paradise, God commanded Adam and Eve to abstain from the fruit of one tree. Certain meats were forbidden to the Jews, and on the day of propitiation, the Jews were not permitted to have food for 24 hours. Okay, the church doesn't require anything that strict. Moses and Elias fasted for 40 days, as did our Lord. By Christ's fasting and his victory over the temptations of the devil, he satisfied for Adam's self-indulgence and defeat in the Garden of Paradise. St. John the Baptist fasted most rigorously his whole life. The original laws of the church in regard to fasting and abstinence were so strict that the bishops of the church found it prudently necessary to relax them according to the need of time and place. The original fast days did not permit any meat, milk, eggs, or butter, did not allow any food to be taken before sundown. This became extremely difficult due to the fact that most of the people were poor peasants who worked manually on the lands of the lord of the castle. This increased the weakness of many who had little to eat anyway. We have the opportunity to daily satisfy our desires with a variety of food and desserts, so we should hardly object to the fairly lenient law of the present fasting and abstinence. And I think the best way to look at it is it's a diet. I mean, really, it's just a diet. In the second commandment of the church, we're ordered to abstain, in other words, have no meat on all Fridays of the year, to fast and abstain on Ash Wednesday, the Fridays of Lent, all the Fridays of the year, on the Ember Days, the vigils of certain feasts, and then there's a good reason and purpose behind this precept. It's really self-control. We do not eat meat on Friday because this is the day our Lord died on the cross for us. It's a way to show our love. We fast, but again, as I mentioned a few weeks ago, and if you go to Mexico or Argentina, okay, they eat meat on Friday, but not during the Fridays of Lent. We fast during the 40 days of Lent is a partial imitation of our Lord's fast of 40 days. So he did not eat anything for 40 days. Okay, we're on a diet during several of the days during Lent. And then on Sunday, we don't have any penance or fasting. We further fast and abstain in the Ember Days in order to implore God to send us good priests, in which there's a dire need, and to thank him for the benefits of the past year. The reason we fast and abstain in the vigils of certain major feasts is in order to prepare better for celebrating those major feast days, like Pentecost Sunday, Easter, Christmas, etc. Because Holy Mother Church is a wise mother, she does not want us to injure our health to the extent that we'd no longer be able to perform our daily duties. For this reason, exceptions can be made, but you must obtain a dispensation for your priest. Or if you fit in those categories that are in the bulletin that I mentioned, okay, you're excused. If you cannot fast, you should it may be a good thing to substitute it with some other good work, such as extra prayers or alms. There are many advantages to fasting, even for your health. It's beneficial both to the soul and body. Our intellectual powers are sharpened by moderation in our food. Excess leads to sluggishness and the habit of overindulgence and instant gratification. In addition, fasting fortifies the soul, enabling it to bring the body into subjection, giving it strength to overcome the temptations of the devil. The devil regards the flesh as his best ally. Thus, it's crucial to keep the body and lower passions under the control of reason and the soul. Just as an athlete must refrain from anything that would jeopardize his chance of success and victory, so too the soul needs to discipline the body for success in the spiritual combat. It cannot let the body interfere and deter it from its final goal. A high degree of virtue is acquired by means of fasting. It inclines us to prayer. It helps us overcome ourselves to be more gentle, patient, and chaste. In the same proportion that the animal part of our nature is lessened, our spiritual nature is invigorated. Like the scales of a balance, as one goes down, the other rises. By fasting, our health is improved, our life prolonged. The hermits in the Theban desert fasted rigorously, and they lived to be 100 years old. Hippocrates, the father of medicine, reached the age of 140 years. This he attributed to the fact that he never fully satisfied his athlete. Then here's a short little story. A middle-aged millionaire, head of some large business in the United States, who was too fond of eating and drinking, suffered much from gastric troubles and gout. While engaged on a 10-course dinner by himself one evening, some gangsters entered and took him off to a lonely wooden house in the mountains. There they held him to ransom. And when he refused to write the necessary ransom note, they kept him on bread and water. This went on for several weeks. Then one day, when there was only a rather careless guard left to watch him, the millionaire got away, hid in the woods till night, then managed to reach a road and stopped a passing car. When the police reached the hut, of course the kidnappers had disappeared, but the millionaire didn't mind much, for his gout and gastric ulcers had entirely disappeared too. After this experience, though he did not go back to bread and water, he was more careful about his diet. Through Holy Scripture, we read of how God hears and answers the prayers of those who fast, and he pardons their sins. So it's prayer and fasting. God heard the prayers of the centurion who fasted until the ninth hour and sent an angel to him. When Holofernes laid siege to Bethulia, the inhabitants betook themselves to prayer and fasting, and they were delivered in a marvelous manner by Judith. In Judith, we read, Eliakim, the high priest of the Lord, went about all of Israel and spoke to them, saying, Know you that the Lord will hear your prayers if you continue with perseverance in fastings and prayers in the sight of the Lord. St. Matthew tells of the incident where Jesus' disciples were not able to exorcise the devil from a man's son. The father then went to Jesus and asked him to pity his son and cast out the devil as his disciples had been unable to do so. St. Matthew writes, Jesus rebuked him and the devil went out of him and the child was cured from that hour. Then the disciples came to Jesus secretly and said, Why could we not cast him out? Jesus said, Because of your unbelief. This kind is not cast out but by prayer and fasting. St. Augustine calls fasting and almsgiving, in other words, contributing to the church, contributing to the poor, the two wings of prayer. Fasting is a means of earning extraordinary actual graces. After Moses had fasted, he was admitted the honor of conversing with God upon Mount Sinai. After Elias's long fast, God appeared to him upon Mount Horeb. Fasting is even rewarded after death. Moses and Elias were present at our Lord's transfiguration because they alone, of all the patriarchs, had fasted 40 days as he did. We are also able to help the poor souls in purgatory by our fasting. The good works most pleasing to God are prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. We must remember, however, that fasting and abstinence is pleasing God only if we at the same time perform good works and refrain from sin. Fasting alone, without amendment of life, is futile because even the devil himself does not eat, yet is unceasingly employed in doing evil. Fasting finds its value only in so much as it's a manner of strengthening us to suppress our vices and to practice virtue. Thus, without prayer, it's an empty action, for it's supposed to enable us to pray all the better and to grow more and more spiritual. So just close with a quick story. When St. Anthony, who was in the desert, was 21 years of age, he left his home to spend the rest of his life in there to prepare for heaven. From that time, he began to fast rigorously. The only food he ate was a little bread mingled with salt, and his drink was water. He only took this once a day after sunset. Sometimes he did not touch food for 2 days at a time, and sometimes not for three or four. Satan often came to tempt him. He tried at first to frighten him by making a loud and dismal noise. Then he would strike him till he was covered with wounds and left him often half dead. But nothing ever troubled the saint. He had many disciples whom he trained up to live as he himself did. "Believe me, my brethren," he said to them, "Satan is more afraid of fastings, prayers, and good works of the servants of God than of anything else they do, because these holy exercises inflame their hearts with the love of God and secure their perseverance. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen."